Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Is it possible to be offended by Jesus Christ? Is it possible to literally stumble over the one who came and died for us? You might think that that would not be possible. That it would not be possible to be offended by, to be tripped up by, the very one who sacrificed so much that we might benefit when he received no benefit at all from his own sacrifice. You might think that impossible, but the Bible teaches us otherwise. Last week we learned that the religious leaders of Jesus' day were offended by him and by the things that he taught. Even his own neighbors, the people who had watched him grow up, were offended by the Christ. Today we're going to learn that it got a lot closer to home than that. Even those of his own family were offended by the Lord. We take our text from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 6 as we ask ourselves this very important question. Where John the Baptizer, at a time when he was imprisoned and very depressed, and even it seems his faith had begun to waver, sent his disciples to the Christ and asked him, "Are you the Savior of the world? Are you the one who was sent to us, or should we look for another?" Jesus began his reply by telling John to remember the mighty works, the miracles that he had done and, in fact, at that time was doing. And then he says in verse 6 of Matthew 11, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Blessed is he who will not stumble at me. There were many who did, in fact, stumble. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we read, "Ye also as lively stones," or living stones, "are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture," and here we make reference back to the Old Testament as Peter quotes, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Peter shows us that Jesus can either be the foundation that we build our lives upon, or he can be that rock that we stumble over, that rock of offense that we reject. Whether we reject him or not, it is God who has made him the chief cornerstone, and therefore we must accept him in order to be pleasing to the Father. Now last week we noticed that the religious leaders of Jesus' day did not accept him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the rulers of the synagogues, as a group, did not accept the Lord, but rather were offended by him. Jesus did not change what he taught when they were offended. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, we're taught that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Had Jesus compromised that truth in order to stop offending those in power at the time, he would not have made them free with something that was false. Rather, we must remain true to the truth if we are in fact going to be free. We also learned that his neighbors were offended in him, leading Jesus finally to remark in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4 that a prophet is not without honor but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And in verse 6 of Mark 6 we're told that he marveled because of their unbelief. But we learn today that Jesus' own family, his own flesh and blood in an earthly sense, were offended by him. You know, one of the great things about family is their steadfastness. When all others doubt us, we can always turn to our family for support. Such was not the case with the earthly family of our Lord. In John chapter 7, verses 2 through 5, we read, "Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest." Now, if they had stopped there, we could have accepted this as the proper encouragement. Here's an opportunity for you to go to the feast and show your disciples your mighty works. But let's continue reading the text. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, notice that phrase very carefully, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. You see, they weren't telling Jesus to go and show thyself to the world so that they'll come to know that you are the Christ. Instead, they were mocking him. If you can do these things, then go to the feast. In other words, as we might say here in America, put up or shut up. Go ahead and show yourselves to the crowd. This may be one of the reasons that Jesus recognizes those who believe and follow him as his real family. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46, beginning, we read here that while he being Jesus, yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and brethren stood without. These were his earthly family members. They desired to speak with him. Then one said, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak to thee. But he answered, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This makes it possible for me to stand in the presence of my Lord as my brother. I don't have to take a back seat to anyone, including the members of Jesus' physical family. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. We can be adopted into the family of God if we are obedient to the Word of God given by the Spirit. Or we can choose to be offended by the words of Jesus, as were his physical family long ago. But not only were the family members of Jesus offended, but his own disciples were offended at him. In one of the most well-known parables of our Lord, Jesus taught the disciples who would be offended and fall away. The parable is found in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus speaks of one going forth to sow seed. He then refers to four different types of soil that would receive the seed and how the seed would prosper or fail to prosper in each. One of the four types was the rocky soil. Hear Jesus as he speaks in verses 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. There are many who accept Jesus on the surface, but they don't put down roots, and therefore they will later become offended. Oh, they're disciples for a period of time, but they do not last. Notice the plain and straightforward teaching of Jesus. It seemed harsh to many people, even those who followed him. In John 6, in verse 60, we read, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, doth this offend you? The answer was obviously yes. For we read just 5 verses later, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69. Although they said, this is a hard saying, we notice that Jesus still didn't compromise or water down his message. Even though many went back and walked no more with him, Jesus steadfastly taught the truth. Possibly the multitude could not understand all of the spiritual doctrine that Jesus disclosed, but had they believed and trusted in Him, later developments would have made everything clear. These disciples turned away from the Master. This must have been disappointing to Christ, but if so, greater disappointment was still in hand. In Mark chapter 14, we read of Jesus meeting with His disciples who would soon be known as the apostles. The scene is the very night that the Messiah was betrayed. And beginning in verse 26, we read, "And when they had sung a hymn, and they went out into the Mount of Olives, Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. But Peter said, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Did Peter live up to that? Did he hold true to that promise? Well, the answer to our question is then, did Peter in fact remain true to what he had told Jesus he would do? Did he in fact stick with the Lord no matter who else was offended? Well, we know the story, and we know that sadly, the answer is no. That Peter, as well as all of the apostles who had said, "We will stay with you," were offended and left him. The question then is, will we deny Jesus with our lives as Peter denied him with his lips, or will we stick with him, being obedient rather than offended?